Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all feeling? Y'all doing good on this rainy Sunday? I'm like, oh, come on, it's Mother's Day. There should be flowers and no rain. But we're going to have a good time anyway. I feel like I should introduce myself truly to you all. It's been 1 year since I have been up on stage by choice. My husband asked me to fill in every now and then. I'm like, no thanks. Once a year is good for me. Thankful for my Mother's Day spot. But you know, I don't get to be with you all much, but also I realize that our church has grown so much. And a couple months ago, I was walking in the front doors. It was pouring rain, kind of like it is today. And so I got dropped off under the overhang, me and the kids. And so we came in the front entrance, which we typically didn't do, and we walk in, and the sweetest lady saw us and, like, kind of walked up straight to us, and she said, good morning. I was like, oh, good morning. It's so good to see you. She said, it's so good to see you. How are you? I was like, I'm great. How are you doing today? How many of you are so thankful for people to greet you at the door with a smile on their face? You feel so loved. Y'all are the real MVPs in the room. But this particular day, you know, we're just connecting. It's so good to see you. And she said, are these your kids? And I was like, yeah, just assuming she knew all about them because my husband spills the beans on them all the time. I said, yeah, these are our kids. And she said, that is so awesome. How long have you been coming to Word of Life? I was a little confused, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. 13 years-ish, and she was like, that is awesome. Are you involved here? And I was like, I mean, I don't have a specific title per se. I really just like going around and greeting people. And she said, well, would you be interested in getting involved? And I said, oh, well, I'm pretty committed. I'm pretty committed to the church, and actually I'm very committed to the pastor. I'm actually Pastor Joel's wife. And she was like, oh, like, I cannot believe I did that. I said, girl, you are doing a fantastic job. I almost joined your team. You're so good at what you do. But I do feel like I should introduce myself. I hold the title of mom very high. I absolutely love being a mom, and I absolutely love that all of the moms represented in this place. I think it is pretty incredible that you chose to bring you and your families to church this morning. Can we just give one more round of applause for all the mamas in the house? Y'all are absolutely amazing, and I count it an honor to be served or surrounded by the very best. And as I prepared this message, I really had a specific group of ladies big on my heart. And I personally know through prayer, getting to pray with you all many times, that there are some women in here that you have the dream and desire of having a family of your own. I believe that is a desire from our Heavenly Father, and I believe God will honor that dream. But maybe it's been a while since that dream was birthed in you and you haven't seen fruition from it yet. This morning, I want to encourage you, pull that dream back out. Get it in the ears of our Heavenly Father. And I just want you to get a fresh excitement, because how many of you believe that God is willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we dare ask or think? It is written in His Word that He is faithful. So to all the families that you feel a part of that group, I encourage you to hook your heart up. I'm about to pray to start the service off right, and just stir that dream back up in your heart. Would you bow your head, close your eyes? Oh, Father God, we count it an absolute honor to be here this morning. I thank you. You see every single person in this place. every family that is in this place that's represented. Father, I just thank you, you know exactly what everyone here needs. Lord, you've given me a message to share, but I thank you that I just step back and I let you do what you can do. And you can personalize and tailor make this message for everyone in the place so that when we all leave, we got the exact answers we need. Lord, bless those families. Bring those desires back. Let them be stirred and excited again. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier this year, I was sitting in my coffee room. It's our downstairs is a pretty open floor plan. And I'm the type that when I'm reading, if a lot is going on and it's kind of crazy and all that kind of stuff, I don't really remember what I'm reading. I'm so distracted by everything. Whereas my husband, he can have a circus going on around him, sports on the TV. I'm sharing my heart with him. He's reading a book and he takes it all in and knows everything going on. He gets it all. But I am not like that. So this particular Saturday morning, I'm sitting in our coffee room. I'm a creature of habit, so I always sit in the same spot on the couch, fold my little gray blanket over my lap, set my pillow in my lap, Bible on the pillow, and I go to town with my relationship with the Lord. But this particular Saturday, a lot was going on in the house. I think Joel was probably in the kitchen making bacon and pancakes and making a massive mess for me to clean up after my devotional. So I had that stirring around in my heart, you know, I'm going to have to forgive him for all that mess and that bacon smell. But my kids were having fun. Everything was great. It was great. But this particular morning, in spite of everything going on, I was hearing straight from the Lord. And I found myself saying this phrase. It came out of nowhere. But I said, Lord, I want to become a better version of myself. And after I said it, kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, that kind of sounds selfish. Like, I want to be a better version of myself. But then the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Pepe, you being a better version of yourself is not just about you. It's about you being a better version of yourself means you are a better wife. A better version of yourself means you are a better mom to the kids I entrusted you with. A better version of yourself helps the kingdom of God. And the same is true for all of us in this room. A better version of ourselves is better for the world. Would you agree? Amen. So as I was talking to the Lord about this, I said, well, Father, what does that look like? Like for me to be a better version of myself, what are the steps you would order me to take? So this morning, I want to share with you my relationship with the, or my conversation with the Lord that morning. He gave me 3 steps, and as soon as I wrote them down, I knew this was the right message for Mother's Day. The first step I want to share with you in becoming a better version of yourself is that we are going to have to seek God. I don't know about you, I've been raised in church my entire life. So I have heard this one phrase a gazillion times, right? But sometimes I feel like we overcomplicate God's process, but it's very simple. I have heard this my whole life and probably since day 2 of birth because if you know my mom, she's a little persuasive. She's not here, so I can talk about her. She's coming to the next service. But if you know my mom, you know she's a little persuasive. And 3 hours after giving birth to me, she convinced the doctor and made him think it was his idea that she should get to go home. So I am the youngest of 5, so my mom felt like a professional slash doctor at this point delivering babies. So 3 hours after she had me, we were home and she was eating a good old steak dinner. Amen, somebody, right? So I'm pretty certain my mom had me in church the very next day. And ever since then, I have heard this phrase, seek God. But what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to seek God? New Year's Eve of this past year, I realized my family had no plans. And you can't celebrate New Year's Eve without some plans. So we found out a couple of our other friends didn't have plans either, and they have kids around our kids' age. So I said, well, y'all should just come over to our house. We'll waiter in some food and play hide and go seek in the house and just have loads of fun, create memories for our kids. And can I nominate myself for a super cool mom? Because I let like 15 kids loose in my house in the dark to hide, and nothing was broken, but it was worth creating a memory even if something got broken. But we played hide and go seek for hours. And the parents, you know, were a little drained. We're kind of over hide and go seek in the dark. So we switched the game up a little, and we started playing sardines. What sardines is one person hides and everyone else has to find the one person. So we nominated this sweet little 9-year-old girl. She's gonna be an easy sardine to find. So we send our little sardine off and she goes and hides, and we're like, this will be a piece of cake. Then we can call it a night. Everyone can go home. And so, okay, so it's time for us to go find the sardine. Fast forward 30 minutes, the sardine is still missing. I'm like, good golly, she disappeared. Like, how does she do that? We cannot find this girl anywhere. And so I'm pretty darn competitive, as you all know. I admit that readily. And I would not quit, but I was so close until I looked around the room and I'm like, her mama has found her, because her mama is missing now. And her mom's a whole lot taller than she is, so I know it'll be easier to find our little hidden sardine. So I go looking. Do y'all know she was not hiding in the attic where I thought she would be? She wasn't hiding in the backyard. She was hiding behind the door in the main bathroom on the main floor. She was hiding in plain sight, and we all just thought she had disappeared and it was going to be impossible to find her. And I related this to how we are with the Lord. You know, maybe you're walking through something this morning and it's like, where is God in this? And you feel like he is hiding and you cannot find him. Did you know God is right there? Wherever you are, God is right there. But it is up to us to seek him and find him. You know, if we wanted to know all about LeBron James, we wanted to know his stats with his first year with the Lakers, like how good is he doing? What would we do? Any guesses? We would just simply say, hey, Alexa, what is LeBron James up to? Am I right? That's a new thing. Alexa would tell us everything we wanted to know about LeBron James. We wanted to seek out and find out what he's been up to. She would let us know. Or maybe you're like me, and you're a sucker for a good love ballad sung by the one and only Celine Dion. And you wanted to get to know who she was. What does she look like? How many kids does she have? You're gonna Insta-stalk her. We all have done it. In fact, have any of you ever Insta-stalked someone you haven't met, and then you met them, and something slipped out to let them know you had been Insta-stalking them? So awkward. So awkward. Back on track. But if we want to get to know those people, it's at our fingertips to get to know them. God is the very same way. All we have to do to get to know God is we get out his word and we open it up and we find out not only who he is, but how he created you to function, what his promises for you are. You'll read that in John 3:16, that God is so crazy in love with you that he gave his very best in Jesus, died on the cross for you. You'll find out in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus took stripes on his back so that when you walk into that doctor's office and you're given a bad report, you can tell the report, oh no, in 1 Peter 2:24 it says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed and made whole. I know I have laid hold of these promises for my very own kids. When the doctors come in and the teachers come in and that fear tries to get in you and you're reminded, no, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes, Benjamin Nathan is healed and made whole. I'm not gonna let Jesus go through what he went through in vain. I'm not gonna have that promise sitting right there for me to take and not take it. I'm taking those promises for myself. But I found a scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. We're all very familiar. It's gonna be on the screen. It says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me. You will inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Did you know there's action on stepping into the plans and the paths that God has for each and every one of us in this room? It's not just simply saying, "Oh, I think I want to be a doctor. Oh, I think I want to be a preacher. Oh, I think I want to go into business." Did you know he is your creator? Who could know what you're destined for better than the person who created you? Our Heavenly Father knows you intricately. He knows every detail. He knows every gift and talent. And it is up for us to seek him out, to find out what that plan is for us. For me personally, I went on this journey a couple years ago. Fear was trying to hold me back and put myself in this little box of, this is what you always wanted to do, and you'll do nothing more than just this because you'll be happy and content there. But as I began to seek God about my own personal life, I realized he wanted me to be here this morning. He wanted me to share my heart with you. And that is not a natural, like, "Ooh, yippee, I love that." In fact, my first speech in college, I failed because I cried through the whole thing. I was so nervous. This is not natural for me. But how many of you know the Creator created me to do something new? And if I was gonna seek him and do what he called me for, then I would have to seek him and ask him, "What, Lord, what was I made for?" We're all gonna have to make this choice to seek him. And what I have found about him, that as I seek him, and I kind of start stepping out, and I start believing 1 Peter 2:24, and I see my child healed. And when I start stepping out and finding out that the plans and paths he had prepared for me have everything that I need, including confidence and boldness to share his word, I become more in love with him. And I also find myself trusting him more and more, which leads me to step two. And that is, we're gonna have to come to a place where we are leaning on, trusting in, and finding our confidence in our Heavenly Father. Amen. So I was reading earlier this year, all throughout the book of Psalms, and Psalms is the story of David. And it goes through his very up and down kind of life. When I read the book of Psalms, I don't envy him at all. He went through a whole lot of mess. But through it all, on his highest highs and on his lowest lows, there was a common theme. And what David would say is, despite what I'm going through, Father, I lean on, I trust in, and I find my confidence in you. You try to do that with LeBron James and Celine Dion. You try to act like you know them intimately. You try to act like you can trust them, they can trust you. You show up at the games and you're high-fiving LeBron and you're hugging him after he scores 5,000 points that game. I mean, you start getting real close and acting like y'all are tight. You show up at Celine Dion's concert, you walk backstage and hang out with her kids. You're gonna get arrested. Like, you're gonna get a restraining order filed against you. They don't want that with you. They don't want a close relationship with you. But our Heavenly Father is so different than anyone you'll meet on this earth. What our Father wants is a dependence on him. He wants a relationship with us where we are 1,000% dependent on him. where we come to him and it's like, you know, I just trust you. I feel like I can bring my walls down because, Father, I trust you with my dreams. I trust you with my desires. And as I thought about this point, I'm a visual learner. And he showed me this parallel, and I thought it would illustrate this point well. But you know, have you ever been invited to someone's house and you're a little nervous, a little uncomfortable, you don't know where you stand in your relationship with them, and you know, it's just a little awkward. You trade in your sweatshirt for a leather jacket, and you put on your booties instead of your tennis shoes, and you exchange that messy bun for curled hair. You know, you're just deciding to be on your best behavior. And so when you come into their house, you act like everything's perfect. And you're content to just sit in this chair and sit up straight, cross every T, dot every I, and oh, no, I'm comfortable. This is how I sit at home. And, you know, you just stay in this place and you act like you're all prim and proper. And this is the seat when someone's in an uncomfortable or not a close relationship, they'll just stay in this seat. But then, say your best friend calls you over or your buddies call you over to watch the game, or maybe you go to your mom's house this afternoon. You are gonna take your church clothes off. You are gonna put on a sweatshirt. You're gonna put on your yoga pants that you know you did not do yoga in. You're gonna put your hair on top of your head. You're gonna just flop down in this seat. You're gonna relax. You're gonna bring a blanket over you. Maybe eat some Doritos, drink a Coke. You are so comfortable sitting here. Why? You trust them. You're comfortable with them. You know them intimately, and they know you intimately. It's not about being perfect anymore. Religion would have us seated here. It's all about rules, and are you right, and are you good enough, and are you sitting up straight? But you know, a relationship with God where you're leaning on, trusting in, and you're confident with him, you curl up in this chair, and you can sit here with him, and you can pour your heart out to your heavenly Father. It's a polar opposite relationship. And in thinking about Mother's Day, I thought about this with my very own kids. You know, isn't it crazy that you can raise two kids in the same home with the same parents, the same expectations, and they look completely different? I mean, you can have 20 kids, and somehow all of them are gonna have complete opposite personalities. And we have this in our home. And I won't share names because I wouldn't want to embarrass any of my children. But we have polar opposites. We have an extreme introvert and we have an extreme extrovert. Say you came over to my house today. This one kid is going to greet you at the door. And then they're gonna want you to play with them the whole time you're there. You are gonna think you're their best friend and that they have loved you their whole life. The other kid is a little more nervous, a little more laid back, a bit more reserved. Maybe you come over to my house and oftentimes they just go to their room because they're so nervous. It's such an extreme polar opposite that even our introvert has even tinkled on the floor sometimes just because of nerves. In fact, my kids are side stage. Would y'all come out just real quick? It's Mother's Day. It's all about me, not y'all. y'all didn't think of, I was talking about my humans, did you? I have birthed 3 human babies, but I have bought 2 hairy babies. This girl, well, I can't point because I wouldn't want to embarrass the girls. One of these is the tinkler. And if you come over and you approach her too fast, she gets so nervous because she's like, whoa, wait, what are you doing? Like, are we close like that? Do you love me? Are you, I mean, she acts abused, but she's not. But it's just like, what is your deal? You're so skittish. This girl, she's newer into, we've had her 6 years. This girl is newer into the family. She's my dream come true. next to Reese. This is my oldest human daughter. But Sadie is certain. As soon as you walk in the door, you want her to jump on you, and you want her to hug you, and you want her to sit in your lap and spend time with you because she is so confident she is loved. Hey, can we give our girls a big hand? The first service, the big white dog started barking like crazy, so she's behaving. We're very thankful. But you know, God would desire us to be far more like Sadie than Maggie, than Tinkler. God wants us to be so sure of his love for us. He wants us to live in this chair. I mean, Sadie, if she had a choice, she's gonna live in this chair because she's certain she belongs. She's certain that you wanna spend time with her. God is craving the same thing for you and I. And as I thought about this fun little point to illustrate the point, I thought about one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. If you want to, you can turn to the book of 1 Samuel. We're gonna start in chapter 1 and verse 12. And I'm gonna get you caught up to speed. We gotta skip a lot of the story, but here you have Hannah, who has desired a child more than anything. And this desire has gone unmet. And what I love about this story is it illustrates this whole entire message that I'm sharing with you. Hannah was seeking God about her life. She went to the Father wondering, why have I not had that dream of a child come to pass? And so she is at the altar. She's just praying. She's so unaware. She's sitting in this chair with the Lord. She's so unaware about rules and regulations, and she is just so fixed on hearing from her heavenly Father. And so she goes about praying, and Eli, the priest at that time, saw her from afar, and we'll pick up the story from there. Verse 12, and I am reading from Amplified, of course. It says, and she continued praying before the Lord. Eli noticed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, how long will you be intoxicated? Put wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Regard not your handmaid as a wicked woman, for out of my great complaint and bitter provocation, I have been speaking. Then Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And this is the key verse. Hannah said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So she went her way and ate, and her countenance no longer sad. What this tells me is Hannah was doing the first point that I shared. She was seeking God about that dream. She was seeking God about her future. But as soon as she heard from God, she had a word from the Lord, she trusted it. She leaned into it. And we know this because the scripture says her countenance was no longer sad, meaning that she trusted when the Lord said, you will have a child. She believed it with all of her heart. You know, if Joel came to me and said, Peppy, go buy yourself a dress. Go pick out whatever dress you want. I know him intimately. He has proved himself faithful. And I know if he says it, I'm gonna take him up on his offer. And I'm gonna head to the store ASAP before he has time to change his mind. And then I might grab some shoes to match it as well, because why not, right? I know him intimately, but if someone I don't know closely said, hey, go to the store and pick you out a dress, I wanna buy it for you. I'm not sure if I'm gonna do that because I haven't counted you faithful to your word. But you better bet your bottom dollar that I am gonna believe Joel. If he says, go to the store and buy a dress, done, I'm there. But do you know that I would never step into that promise if I didn't hear him give me the promise? If I didn't know that was Joel saying, hey, babe, go get you a dress, I wouldn't know to do that. Did you know you're gonna have to know the voice of God? To step into the promises he has for you, you're gonna have to know his voice, which is step 3 in becoming a better version of you. You're gonna have to recognize when God is speaking. And I worded it like this on purpose, because as a little girl, I can remember thinking God was like shouting from the heavens, you know? It's like, he must be loud. And my little six-year-old had this same idea. He goes to a real sweet Presbyterian school, and so he learns a lot about the Lord. And every day when he gets in my car after school, there's about a 5 to 7 minute commute home. And so he fills in this whole 5 to 7 minute commute, catching me up from the day, which I absolutely adore. And so he comes up with some really deep questions. I mean, things like, I don't know if I want Jesus in my heart because he might eat it up. Like, if he lives in there, he's gonna wanna eat. I don't want him to eat my heart. And I'm like, buddy, you're gonna have to talk to your daddy about that. I don't know. Oh no, he's a professional. But this particular day he got in the car, and as soon as the teacher shut the door, he said, Mama, what does God sound like? And I paused real quick, because if you know Ben, you know he's gonna require a real answer. You can't just say, oh, he's sweet. He wants to know details. And so I paused for a second, and for Ben, you know, silence is deafening. So he is like, I mean, does God sound like this? Or does God sound like this? And he gave me several different voice options. And he's like, so which one, Mom? Which one does it sound like? I just did 5 different voices. What does he sound like? And I was like, buddy, God sounds like a lot of different voices. And I thought about this scripture a couple pages down in 1 Samuel. To catch you up to the story, Hannah did have the child that God promised her. And what she promised God is that I'd raise him in the house of the Lord. So here Samuel is living in Eli's house, the priest at the time. But because of certain decisions Eli made, the voice of the Lord was rare in those days. God was rarely speaking due to some choices that Eli made. So Samuel didn't know. He was very much like Ben. It's like, what does God sound like? Like, does he even talk to us? So we'll pick up in scripture here. We're gonna go to 1 Samuel 3, starting in verse 4. It said, when the Lord called Samuel, he answered, here I am. He ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Eli said, I did not call you, lie down again. So he went and laid down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, you did call me. Eli answered, you crazy little fella, I did not call you, son, go lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Finally, right? So Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down. You know, God is gonna speak to us many different ways. You look throughout the Bible, and there are different ways that God spoke to his people. There are many ways that God would speak to you and I. And I listed 4 different examples that we see in scripture that God speaks. That's gonna come on the screen any minute. No, okay, there we go. We see where God speaks in a familiar voice like he did with Samuel. It was a familiar voice where he thought it was Eli. In fact, Joyce Meyer talks about that people will come up to her during her conferences and say, oh, years ago I heard this message and it was so good. And then fast forward a couple years, I was in a situation and I needed to make a decision. And I heard that message I had heard previously, and I heard your voice. And I heard what you said in that message years ago. And she said, that's the Lord speaking to you. It sounded like Joyce Meyer, but how many of you know that what's archived in us, God brings back up to speak to our heart? That's the way God will speak to us. Peace or no peace. So often, this is the way I feel led by the Lord. An audible voice. This is, I would think, most rare that we see, but I have talked to people who have had God speak to them in an audible voice. In fact, Samuel is an example of that as well. And then reading your word. You know, if you read your word, you won't have to go and hear God speak about, can I slap them for hurting me? It's like, no, because 1 Corinthians says, love your neighbor, right? We have to forgive. So there are some questions answered in your word. If you'll just start reading his word, your answer is already there. But the example with peace or no peace is how God leads me. I think it's very interesting. You take the Enneagram, I took the Enneagram test, and I am flat out a number 9, which means I live for peace. Like, I can have nothing else in the world, but if I have peace, I am good. So I love that God uses this way to speak to me so often. And in closing, I want to share this story. But a few months ago, I'd say about 6 to 9 months ago, Joel and I were having a fun day, and we were getting a desire for a new home. And so we were just going around looking, and we found this one home we really wanted to see. So we called up our realtor, and we're like, can you show us this house? So she showed us this house, and it checked all the boxes. It had the real trees in the front yard, and it had enough bedrooms for my kids, and it was just exactly what we had desired. And so we started pursuing it. And the next morning, I wasn't even talking to God about that house. I didn't need his input. I wanted it. Am I right? Have you ever done it? It's like, God, just don't worry about this time. I got it covered. So this one, I was excited, like emotions high. Emotions high, wisdom low, right? So I was talking, I was just having my devotional, and God starts speaking to me about this house. As soon as he does, he lets me know it is not the one for us. But do you know, I followed God so long that I knew that I could trust him with that. That he spoke, he said no, but it was joy for me to get on the right path with him. God is trying to speak to all of us, but are we recognizing when he is? God craves this relationship with you. He wants you to just sit down and seek him. And as you seek him, you will find him, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. God needs you to seek him first. But then as you begin to seek him, you get to know him. He starts proving himself faithful in your life. And then you will hear the voice of your shepherd, and he will not lead you astray. Aren't you so thankful? Amen. Hey, let's close out this service. Father God, it is an absolute honor to serve you. It's an absolute honor to be here. And Father, I thank you for being aware and caring for every single individual in this place. Father, you know where their hearts are. And I know that you crave for their hearts to be closely knit with yours. So if you're in this place, and while I was sharing, you felt you fit into one of those chairs. You felt like you fit in the religious chair where you're not in close fellowship with your Heavenly Father. He wants you. He wants you to come take your place in his presence where he can prove himself to you. So if you're in this place and you want to change in that area of your life, would you just raise your hand? That hand simply means that, Father, I just haven't trusted you with my whole life, but I want to. I want to get into a close, intimate fellowship with you. Amen. We had hands going up all over. Would everyone in this room repeat this after me? Heavenly Father, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing intimacy with you. And I bring my family to you. I thank you, Father. It's all turning around. and I trust you to do it. I love you, Father. Amen.